The governor of the great state of Indiana, Eric Holcomb, joins me in our WLBC News Zoom room. Mr. Governor, thank you for the time. I know that it has been a year or two or three, even crazier than usual for you and for so many people. We appreciate you taking the time today.
Always good to be with you, Steve.
The session is obviously in session. What's the one piece of legislation that you consider to be most important for the long-term benefit of Hoosiers?
Well, Steve, that's kind of like asking to, you know, pick your favorite child, because we always have an agenda. Every piece of it, you know, is highly scrutinized. They're all important, quite frankly, each in their respective, you know, subject matters or areas of expertise. It could be blood testing. It could be infant mortality. It could be modernizing our IEDC, our Indiana Economic Development Corporation's toolkit. I would say, just, you know, for the most timely, I think, and important is SB 3, which was what we submitted to the Senate that will help us land the public health emergency order. And it kind of preserves three key areas that have to do, you know, with SNAP and Medicare and Medicaid and making sure five-year-olds can get vaccinated at their local pharmacies, et cetera. So those three things, if we can keep those intact, then we don't have to have a public health emergency order in place. And I suspect, you know, the bill that moved out of the Senate, we're right now at halftime. Today kind of marks halftime, or the beginning of halftime tomorrow. And the House having completed their business, Senate still here. But, you know, that bill will go over to the House, and the House's bill will go over to the Senate. So there'll be a lot of conversation. But I'm optimistic that they'll get their work done and we can come to an agreement, and that will be landed. So I'd say they're all important, but that one would be most timely, and it kind of is illustrative of what I've been saying is, you know, an executive, we have to make decisions every single day, and we have to be nimble. We have to, whether it's got to do with the storm that's a brewing and coming our Indiana's way, you know, we're preparing for that right now, the executive branch, the administration across various agencies. We got to be able to jump on that right now and be prepared for when the snow hits, just like a public health emergency. We got to be able to make decisions. And then the legislative process is more drawn out, weeks on end, months on end, and a lot of thought goes into every one of those decisions, understandably. So I would say SB3 is what I'm tracking as, let's get this done as soon as possible. But it's still obviously weeks away because of the legislative process.
Governor Holcomb, when eventually something hits your desk and it needs a signature, and you have the ability to use veto power, what legislation, if passed, might you be more inclined to consider to use that particular non-strike of your pen, as it were?
Well, I use it sparingly, and I don't relish it every time that I see fit to use it. But first and foremost, I look at it, you know, through a constitutional lens. And, you know, we've been at this 5 years now, and only once have I arrived at a different opinion than the House and the Senate from a constitutional perspective, that being the lawsuit that's currently underway that's challenging the executive powers. I believe the only way that we can change the Constitution is the people, the electorate that votes, would have an opportunity to vote on changing the Constitution. The House and Senate believe otherwise, respectfully. And to me, you know, I'm an old history major, and this is quite a history lesson in the making. And we're, with civility, going to get an answer to that very question. But that's the first thing. Does it pass constitutional muster? And then secondly, If it does, but, you know, I just may disagree with it for various reasons, then I really dig in and we really study every single bill. I've only vetoed in 5 years, five bills, to put it in perspective. One on constitutional, I just don't believe it passes constitutional muster. And then four others that I disagreed with. And then those are either overridden back in the House and the Senate or not. And sometimes the House and the Senate will say, yeah, good point. And we can make the bill better when we come back in January, because the good news or bad news, depending on how you look at it, we're in session every January. And so oftentimes in these five instances, I think there could be a better bill. And that's how I approach it. Whether I agree with it, and first and foremost, the constitutionality of it.
Governor Holcomb, Steve Lindell interviewing the governor of Indiana. The one issue that is unique to our immediate area that's not necessarily as statewide of an interest, the state of Indiana, Ball State, overseeing the Muncie Community Schools.
Yep.
By most accounts, from ground level, you know, me and the rest of our people living here in the midst of it, it seems to have been a very useful arrangement. There's a lot of positive things that are happening that we're hearing about and seeing. But what I would like to ask you is, what circumstances do you see as it being turned back over to the local elected school board scenario, the way it is in all but, I think, two total spots in the state of Indiana?
You're right. And two spots, Muncie and Gary, I think you're referring to, but they're somewhat different when you really scratch at them. Muncie had a tremendous amount, had Ball State, quite frankly, step up and say, how can we help? In a really big way. And it's turned out to be, I'm so proud, a real model of success. And it starts obviously with President Mearns and the board that from the very top to everyone involved, there's been a real spirit of good cooperation, setting goals, making our way toward realizing those goals. So I would call that a chirp chirp model of success. This bill was passed in 2018 already. I mean, that's how that contemplated the framework and this relationship, and it didn't contemplate dissolving it. So to answer your question very directly, I mean, it would start with knowing there's been so much improvement in my mind. It would start with someone saying we need to change the arrangement, and that would be legislatively. And so there would have to be, you know, some kind of groundswell support to change the arrangement by law. And I'll confess, I just haven't heard of that desire at the, you know, grassroots level, at the local level. And so we'll continue to be just as supportive as we can, as this arrangement continues.
Governor Holcomb with us this morning. One of the other school related topics is certainly more statewide and really nationwide. The House Bill 1134 is the one that we're dealing with at the State House. And this, I think last Tuesday, Representative Tony Cook authored a bill, the words "not burden teachers with respect to posting curriculum materials" and so on and so forth. This really gets complicated. and then we get into the divisive topics and or the CRT, et cetera. Speak to that bill and what you are hopeful for moving forward for the sake of educators, parents, and students.
Yeah. It sure is, as you describe it. And, you know, it's probably worth mentioning at the very outset that the Department of Education has very rigid standards in place that schools must follow. Those are very thoughtful. They're created with a lot of different stakeholders and folks around the table that arrive at those very standards. A lot of input from teachers included. And, you know, you mentioned critical race theory. That's not part of Indiana's state standards. nor do I believe it should be. And but currently it is not, and I don't think it ever will be. I just don't think it's appropriate. And so anything that would contemplate changing that, I think it would face fierce resistance. The bill as that you mentioned, the specific bill that you mentioned, I think what I believe you're alluding to is, and what Tony Cook, Representative Cook, has said is, we don't want to overburden or burden teachers in the process of trying to make progress. Couldn't agree more. I don't want to say I had my mother as a teacher, so I know this kind of firsthand what her schedule was. And certainly you don't want oversight to become bureaucratic and to become counterproductive. And so we need to let our teachers teach and not burden them with that type of those efforts for more transparency. Having said that, agree, anything that can help clarify that CRT is not part of our school standards or curriculum, I'm happy to underscore that 7 days a week.
Governor Holcomb, a less divisive topic, tax rate reduction. Are you going to lower my taxes? And if so, how much?
asking for a friend, right?
Yeah, right.
A lot of friends. Well, here's the deal. We are right now. You're going to get a tag. You're going to have an audit. We have the state of Indiana, an automatic taxpayer refund that's going to be coming out. It's about $543 million. Total that's going to be cut into that's going to roll out this taxpayer filing season. So that's April is right around the corner. That's about $125 per taxpayer filer. So that, yes, you're getting a tax cut there. We've also, you may not see this personally, but we've also just this past July cut our corporate income tax 12, it was 8%, and July 1, it was reduced down to 4.9%. So what we're seeing is when we cut taxes, our revenue goes up. Having said that, I am promoting one approach to cutting taxes on business personal property taxes on a floor of 30% on new equipment. That's, in my estimation, we're not going to see any reduction. That's just like our corporate income tax. If you reduce that, we become more competitive and more investment is made to the state of Indiana. Just had a recent announcement in another part of the state, over kind of in the western part of the state, that is citing this very tax, business personal property, reducing that floor, eliminating the floor, as a key reason why they're going to make the investment. And so I'm very open to cutting taxes as long as it leads to our ability to meet the needs and challenges of a budget session. My business personal property tax won't interfere with that. And so when we're thinking about all we've been through over the last 2 years, we've had tens of billions of dollars that I may not agree with every dollar from the federal government flow into the state of Indiana that has had an impact on our revenues. I want to make sure we know exactly what our true revenue stream is next year during the budget session. We're also dealing with inflation like we haven't seen in a number of decades. And so all of these capital projects that we've paid for with cash are going to cost more next January than contemplated last January. So we're tallying that up. So all that to say, I'm not avoiding answering your question, but yes, we're cutting taxes. Yes, we want to cut more. We want to make sure it's prudent when we do.
Governor Holcomb, you talked about revenue streams. You mentioned that those two words. There's really a revenue stream within the legalization of marijuana. And that certainly has been discussed a lot again this session. What's your position on that? And how likely do you think it will be to pass and get your signature?
You're absolutely right. I don't disagree that in other states that have passed it for both recreational and medicinal use, it has led to revenue. that wasn't realized prior. Having said that, I still adore, follow. It is my mission to make sure Indiana is a law and order state, that we actually follow the law, that we don't pick and choose the laws. And so there's a process. I've been very, I hope, clear about, we can start to contemplate any change in Indiana law when and if and after the federal government makes it legal to do so. Currently, right now, in my mind, there are states that are knowingly breaking the law, breaking federal law. And I'm just not one of those guys. I took a couple oaths in my life that I would uphold and support the law of the land, both the state and federal constitution. So that needs to change. There's conversation always in the federal government about changing that law. If that would occur, then I think marijuana should be researched, just like penicillin, just like all the vaccines that we've seen recently that have gone through the FDA process. It needs to go through that very same process to be authorized. And then I think it's very appropriate that we have that discussion.
Just two more quick subjects. I don't want to take up too much of your day. Sure. You're Governor Holcomb. One about, again, state legislature talking about enhancing some absentee ballot requirements, requiring either an ID or a part of your Social Security number. What's your thoughts with in relation to voter security as it relates to that particular issue?
Really want to, this is a perfect example of a lot of bills. You know, we start out with hundreds and hundreds of bills, and then we end up with a much lower number than that, even at halftime, and then the third quarter, and then at the very kind of last week, feels like it takes 3 months because there's, you know, so much intense conversation going on. I'd really want to dig into that bill as it evolves into the final language. Obviously, this is something that our Secretary of State, Holly Sullivan, is supportive of. And so, I mean, I'm just naturally inclined to support it because I think she's constantly trying to make I'll say, easy to vote, hard to cheat in the state of Indiana. And that's a good objective that we encourage people to vote, but that we all know that my vote isn't going to be compromised by two others that are illegally cast. So I'm generally, you know, positioned to be supportive, but I want to make sure, as I'm sure she will too, that every word makes sense for Hoosier voters.
I had the good fortune of interviewing Secretary of State Sullivan yesterday, as a matter of fact, and she very much confirmed exactly what you just said. And last item, Governor, concealed carry, the with respect to the gun legislation, where are we at on that? Where would you like to see it end up?
Well, that's the same thing. I want to really make sure I see every word in this. I mentioned not too many days ago at the State of the State address with House and Senate members, obviously in the House chamber, that we needed to do all we could to be supportive of law enforcement. They're dealing with an awful lot in the society in which we live in today. And I said, we have your back, and I meant it. And our state police has, under current form, our state police has some concerns about how it would de-equip or take away some of their G2, some of their intel, and knowing there may be other ways to get at their concerns and address those concerns. And I want to be very supportive of that. But I absolutely want the state police to know that I'm not going to tie one hand behind their back when they're going out at, you know, 2 a.m. making a run and they don't know what they're walking into.
Governor Holcomb, before we wrap up, anything that you would like to say to the citizens of this part of the state? I wanted to give you the opportunity before we wrap up here.
Well, you know, the state of Indiana is on a roll. I mentioned it in our State of the State address, the velocity and momentum that we're experiencing right now and the growth is exciting. And to think about that region, your listenership, and all the potential that we have, all the assets that we have in place, this is going to be, you know, I'll be here, Lord willing, for another 3 years. So I just see continued growth. And then I just, on a really timely matter, say, we've got that snowstorm coming. It's going to start with rain. It's going to be, you know, this evening, and turn into potentially freezing rain and then snow. We've been very fortunate, obviously, to date, but this one looks like it could be a big one. So I would encourage your listeners to stay tuned in to WLBC for weather updates. Don't go out if you don't have to. Check on your neighbors, those folks who may be shut in. This looks like it's going to move in kind of late, you know, this evening and out Thursday, and hopefully we'll get some warmer weather and we'll be on the other side of it this weekend. But until then, you know, we've got about 17 at NDOT, our Department of Transportation. We got about 1,700 drivers ready to go 12-hour shifts in over 900 operational trucks. We've got the brine, we've got the salt ready to go, but we want to make sure folks are safe. And so it'll take us all, and hope they stay plugged in to WLBC to get those updates.
Governor, thanks very much. I very much appreciate the time.
Yep. Thank you, Steve. Have a great day.
Governor, I just got off a call before you with the Emergency Operations Center for Delaware County. They're activating tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. We have Zoom interviews and in-studio interviews. We're going to look after your people in this neck of the woods, so you can count on us for that.
That is awesome. Thank you, Steve, very much. That warms my heart. I'll pass that on to our transportation commissioner. He'll love it.
Happy to serve, sir. Thanks very much.
Thank you.